I can. Attaching the pen because I do request that I get that back.
Okay, so we're going to start here and just, if you'll relax and we'll just keep it circulating around, okay? Did you start it, Joyce? Thank you. Yeah. Can I see a show of hands? Who would like to buy a raffle? Okay, great. Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Or just buy a raffle. I don't know if I have to say
and it took a lot of effort, energy, focus, money, whatnot. In the aftermath of 9/11 mysteries, I have been busy making stuff. When I was a little girl, I made stuff all the time for my dolls. I made toy record players with turntables and tone arms and speakers. None of it worked. It was all miniature. I used threads for the wires. I used matchboxes. I set up two speakers. And I did this all day, every day, until I started to, I guess it was about high school when I realized there's more to do than fiddle around with small things. As an adult, that's all I do. I have a wonderful person here, Jim, who has been manufacturing these buttons for me. I just created a button. This was from a guy in the UK, sent a photo around, which was chemtrails, and he put aluminum through one of the trails, barium through another, pathogen, and then very small government cover-up. So with Jim, we designed this button that says, ask me about chemtrails. And hopefully when you wear it, I want people to start using themselves as message boards. Let's invite conversation. And a lot of people tell me, well, if they ask me about chemtrails, what am I going to say? And I tell them, well, if you're lucky, you'll be able to, you won't have to say anything, just point up, see that? And if you really get stuck, and there is nothing in the sky, you hand them a chemtrail card. And I, sorry, I should have been better prepared, but I decided a long time ago that if you approach people on the street, and you say to them, Rebecca?
Yes, Sophia.
Are you an independent thinker?
I like to think of myself as such.
Exactly.
It may be erroneous, but I try to think of myself as such. Yeah.
Now, everyone, whether they're awake or not, I guarantee you can try this. They're going to say yes, they're an independent thinker. And then you hand them the independent thinker's 9/11 fact sheet, the independent thinker's vaccine fact sheet, income tax fact sheet, chemtrail fact sheet. I was in Trader Joe's, and there's a lovely young woman who was doing the stocking of the shelves, and I've known her for a few years. Now she's working at Trader Joe's. And I said to her, oh, she said to me, Sophia, what are you up to? I said, well, I made a film, and I made this little sheet of points about 9/11. My movie was about 9/11. So here, you can have this. It's the Independent Thinker's 9/11 fact sheet. So she took it, and she looked at it, and she kind of glanced through it, and she looked at me and said, are these real facts? And I said, what other kind of facts? I'm happy to say that the next in this series is the global warming fact sheet that I'm going to do with Dr. Michael Kaufman. Has anyone seen the video Global Warming or Global Governance? I have two copies left, and they're on that table. He takes apart Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
And I want to show one other thing. It's not quite ready.
It's not quite ready yet. All right.
It's very miniature, and you probably aren't going to be able to see it, but we have our buddy Al Gore, the poster boy for Global Warming. I made it look like a magazine cover, so I have him breathing fire, right? Across the top it says a convenient untruth, and here it says warm regards, Al Gore. We haven't finished this one yet, but I think it's going to be quite cute. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So there are lots of things. The independent
fact sheets
are available there in packs of 50. The chemtrail sheet, I don't know where they all went. I guess they dropped them off over there. But I had to do that slightly differently. I took as many photographs, I looked through hundreds of them, to compile a sample, a representative sample of what happened once this material appeared. Because it doesn't stay as a trail. It starts fanning out. So I don't know, do we have our computer yet?
Nope. A few more minutes.
All right. I'm going to ask here, is there anyone here who hasn't ever seen this phenomenon in the sky? I doubt very much that I'm going to see anybody can. I'm amazed. I'm so happy. Everybody has seen it. And I'm going to start with something else that I'm going to see how many people have seen. Who would like to volunteer for this little experiment? All right, let's pick someone direct. What is your name?
Marcella.
Marcella, what color is the yield sign?
Yellow.
And what else?
Black.
Okay. All right, Marcella has told us the yield sign is yellow and black. How many people agree with that? There are a lot of hands going up. I'm going to tell you something. The yield sign was changed. It's not yellow and black anymore. It's red and white. Marcella, would you tell us when you were born? Can you do that?
1972.
Okay, Marcella, in 1971, before you were born, they changed the yield sign. You're not alone. Almost everyone you ask will say it's yellow and black. Now, how can you be telling me that the yield sign is yellow and black? Do you see what I'm saying? Where is she seeing the yellow and black yield sign?
I thought it was a motor vehicle.
That's right. That's what I thought, too. Because I started to drive in the mid-70s. And yet this thing was changed before I even started to drive. So the only thing I could come up with was, what's got to be in that motor vehicle pamphlet that they make you study? They haven't changed it there. There are a lot of other yellow and black signs. And older people who recall the sign being yellow and black, and they'll give you the yellow and black answer, are seeing that sign from their memory. Nobody is seeing the yield sign on the street. When they're driving, we see one probably every day, every other day, and we're still calling it yellow and black. Right? So if you say to the average person, what color is the sky? What are they going to say? What color is the sun? And is the sky blue? That's what I'd like to know. I live in Southern California. And when I moved there, the sky was like, you see this blue? This was the blue of the sky. Every day, cobalt, turquoise, cerulean, deep, clear. And now, what we look at, if you were to take color swatches, what you see the sky as being, and you held it up to what it used to be, in relation to that, it would be white. So we have a white sky. And I bet you little children, when they draw their pictures, they're still coloring the sky blue, and they're still drawing the sun yellow. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they're seeing it. Mm-hmm. Maybe their parents are doing sample drawings for them. And here's the sky, and you make it blue, and here's the yellow for the sun. So we have been conditioned. We're going into our memory to see things. We're not seeing things as they are. When I was a child, I used to lie on my back and look up at the clouds. And not only did they have a puffiness to them and depth and dimension, verticality, they looked like animals. But I also, one of my favorite games, I had a lot of time then. I would predict it will take 8 minutes for that cloud to cover the sun, and then I would time it. And often I was right, sometimes I wasn't. But today, I have a friend who called it gunk. The stuff in the sky is gunk. It's grayish, it's yellowish, it's filmy, it's powdery, some people have said. It's, we see things that are literally like feather boas. with tendrils and stripy stuff and swirls. And one day I was doing a little bit of a test with a friend of mine at the YMCA, and I had been talking to him outside, and a plane had sprayed, and we were talking a little bit longer. We were talking about all kinds of different things, and then we looked up at the place where the plane had been, and now there was this this weird, like a stripe of something, and it was all, I can't even have language for it, hairy, you know. And I said to him, now look at that, that's where that plane was. And he said, you're right, that's where the plane was. And I said, if I hadn't been with you today, shown you that plane, pointed it out, and then come back an hour later to that thing, what would you have said? Let's say you just arrived, you parked at the YMCA, you got out of your car, and you looked up, and you saw that. What would you think? And he said, well, I would think that was a cool plane. So we are now, there's something in England called the Cloud Appreciation Society. Mm-hmm. And you know what their mission is? To fight a blue sky, to fight a boring, soliciting pictures from people of cool clouds. Who can send us the coolest clouds? Yeah. So I was going to give a guided tour of my website and play a few YouTube. So we're waiting for a computer that will actually play the files that I saved, or if we can get Wi-Fi connection going. But I'm just going to start this, and then when we bring in the computer, we can show images. I have put up a website called aboutthesky.com. Also, if you forget that, I use a humorous URL, which is contrailsmyass.com.
Okay. Mirror
site,
right?
It's an alternate URL. It goes to the thing. So, makes it easier. We have a picture here that is quite large in terms of the scope of this thing. I want you to imagine that you are a couple of hamsters in a cage. There's you and your buddy, Ham and Stirrup. And you're in a cage, and you have that nasty little papery stuff that you scramble around in and snap in. You have a wheel, and sometimes the door of the cage opens and you get these little pebbles that you realize are edible, so you eat them. And that's your life. And once in a while, the door of the cage opens and this thing comes in, and it's called a hand, and it takes you or your buddy, Ham or Stir, and it brings one of you out, and then there's another thing. It goes like this, and you hear, how cute. And that's it. That's the experience. And then you get put back, and the door closes. Maybe Stir, if he's lucky, gets taken out. Now, do you think Ham or Stir, those hamsters, know what is happening to them? Do you think they know what hand is and where it comes from? Do you think they can see, and they can see the leg and the body and the arm attached to the hand? And do you think they can see this room that the cage is in? Do you think they can see the world? No. So that's kind of how we are. We right now are looking at the sky, and we're looking at our situation, and we are Ham and Stir, trying to pry the bars of our cage apart and look and say, Stir, I see that thing. Let's call it a leg. Attached to this other part that is attached to the hand. Okay? So how big is this? What's going on? We really have no idea. Yesterday when I was flying here, I was trying so hard to see the trail. And I saw a couple of clouds that I swear to you had to be 50 miles long. I every time I looked out of the window, there was this straight line. There was this straight line. But I didn't see the grid. I didn't see the earth cable tops. And then I realized, oh, of course. Because when I'm down there, I'm looking up. I see a big expanse of sky, and I see a lot of things in the sky. And I see it as a plane. And when I'm up in the sky, we have the bird's eye view of the earth, which is so many miles of earth. So when we're right there in it, what are we seeing? We don't have that perspective. But I could guess, probably accurately, that that long cloud, north of 50 miles, at least that's a wild guess, that might have been one of these things. And it was definitely gumpy. Meaning that it was a weird color, it was a weird texture, and it went on and on forever. How did you get there is the question. So the basic beginning of all this, and I don't know whether I should pause, but let's just pretend we don't need this technology as much as we'd like to think. Condensation is a water vapor. When you have the cold weather here. When I was last in Portland, I took some walks, and my breath formed vapor clouds as I walked. And those vapor clouds dissipated. Of course, I kept generating breath. I was exhaling, so there was always the vapor cloud. It was never the same one. The vapor from me didn't follow me for my 2 or 3 mile walk and stay there. And what we're being told by our beloved NASA is that there is a new phenomenon. And
I don't mean to be to interrupt, but last week I had an MRI to see if I was having a stroke. I'm having a hard time hearing. I know it's probably me.
Yes.
It is me.
I don't know. Do people not hear me?
It's fine.
You can tell me about it. Mark, I have an MRI.
Oh, well, I'm like, I'm glad to be loud as I can. Okay, so we have now from NASA a definition or a term that they call persistent jet contrail. And this would be like saying persistent breath. As I'm walking, and I'm walking around the neighborhood, there should be this thing that follows me, and if enough of us are walking, we should all be wrapped and hidden in white, persistent vapor, because somehow there's an atmospheric condition combination today that causes these things to stay. They have said that one persistent jet contrail can last up to, would anyone like to guess, 20 hours and spread to cover 4,000 square kilometers. One trail. They have said that persistent jet contrail first appeared in 1919. There were no jets. In
1919.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, we have to ask, do they think we're stupid?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But they're wrong.
So of us are.
Yeah. No. You can go to their website. You can call them up and say, how is it that you had jet contrails before you had jets, and they would refer you to another office.
Of course.
Like your name, the one where you live.
Yeah.
So, what? I guess I could go into the definitions that condensation trails form very simply on the basic facts page of my website. That is written down. And these, if you're going to argue about this with people, you're going to have to memorize some very basic things. Condensation trails form behind jets in certain conditions, not very often. They form high up, and they form in conditions of low humidity. And they disappear after a few seconds, usually. At best, a few minutes. Now, clouds need more than low humidity to form. They need fairly high humidity. They're made of water. Clouds form in the troposphere, which is the lower atmosphere. And there are three distinct kind of sets or types of clouds. And you will remember them from your childhood. If we were to ask teenagers today to describe clouds, they would have a very hard time. In the past, we had cumulus, the puffy that looked like rabbits and sheep, strata, the sheets of gray that would come in and make an overcast day, and cirrus. Cirrus are the feathery. They're made of ice crystals, very high up, and they don't form very often. We also had a configuration that I used to love, and it was called a mare's tail. Now, it's nice in life to realize why somebody named something what it is, because it looks like that to form these associations. So mare's tails would form occasionally in the evening, and they would sweep across the sky. They were like the tail of a horse. Never do you see that again. Not the real thing. You see now an imitation cirrus. The stuff that is left behind the jet starts spreading. It drops. It drops and it settles, fans out. By settles, I mean it settles at a certain altitude. It doesn't seem to fall down here, although I think it must give out material at always. Never stops doing that. But the cloud form settles into a sheet, layers, that cause this condition they're calling global dimming. NASA, go to their website, poke around. They are telling us today that we have aviation-induced cirrus clouds. That there's something they call it jet cirrus. Oh, yeah, you know, the planes fly, and they're leaving these persistent trails, and it's forming a man-made cirrus. They admit it. They admit that there is man-made cirrus. They're not arguing about that. We're saying if there's man-made cirrus, how is it getting there? What is it doing? Global dimming. If anybody goes back to their childhood, in grade school, I learned that plants feed the entire food chain. They make their food out of sunlight. So global dimming is going to obviously interfere with that process. So if plants are now getting, we have lost 20% of our sunlight. Is it working? Excellent. Everyone should give a big grin. Okay, I should probably, I wonder if I should interrupt what I'm doing for the raffle or do the raffle later. Let's do it later. Okay, so let's go to my basic facts page. Okay. It's a file that says basic facts.
I see it.
Will it show?
Yes.
Should we turn off the Actually, you know, come to about this guy phone page. Well, now maybe it's going to open up. Have you had a picture yet at all on the screen?
Yeah, I just have to drag it over into what I can't see, and then it'll show.
Okay, I want to show just the introductory page so that I can start showing some of the pictures of the wild stuff that I put up. Can you have my cup?
Sure.
I know. I'm trying to get close. It did open.
I also want to ask another question. Like I talked about the hamster, how big the picture is around the hamster, I want to see how far you will let me take you. How many people want to go all the way? Remember, I am not an expert. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a person who's been exposed to this, you could call it wretched NWO material to the point that now, and I know this has happened to all of you, you start connecting dots. You go, oh, this is because of that, and that fits with this. And then you start having your own kind of dimensional vision into it. So what I'm saying today comes from listening to people like Clifford Carnicom, Roslyn Peterson, a lot of the researchers, many of whom specialize. They have niches that they do the best, know the most about. They won't discuss other aspects of this. But I have started to put material together, especially at an accelerated rate in the last few months. And I have to say, I find it very inspiring. It's like Ham and Stir going, I don't just see a leg, there's that thing, and there's others of them out there, and I can see through this hole in the room they're in, and there must be a lot of them out there. Do you think they also have hamsters, each of them? So, about this guy, can we scroll down and... So that's basic facts. About this guy homepage.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. My website has a whole menu, like right here. These are all different pages that cover different aspects of this. ATS homepage. And you can go, you can play around. There are links. I've tried to pull out the most effective information I can find. So that I'll give a little summary, and then you can go to that link and read more.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There should be a bunch of graphics down here. Do you not see that? Like photos. This should be blue, and it's not loading. That's blue. Yeah.
It's designed to be played from the web, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Are we doing this by way of the internet?
No.
So we're... Okay. Yeah, that's it. It's coming. There should be a lot more... Okay, here we are. Okay.
Good.
So here's what we see. Here's what starts happening to it. It puffs out. There's often a rigid line. Somebody sent me a picture that was taken with a high-powered lens, and there actually looked like there was something hard in this, on this side, which was almost dispersing the material. That when it sprayed... Now, I want people to understand this. The table, as you know the table, is not a table here. We're really going into almost another dimension. When you think of something sprayed by a plane, you think of it as soft, and it can't have any hard parts in it, because where does it start? A hard part is born as a hard part in our life. This table didn't start as foam, you know? But it might have. It could have hardened. There are all kinds of technologies that you and I do not have any experience with. They do not exist in our lives. So it's extremely possible for one side of this thing to be hard. Look, that looks, it looks dimensional against, it looks like it's solid. So let's go down a little bit more. We see all the haze beginning to form. This was outside my house. This is outside my house, what happens later. Right. A lot of these, most of the pictures on this website were taken in Phoenix and San Diego by me and by Carol Pellett. Carol Pellett has a wonderful website, icylines.com. Okay, so this is what starts to happen, the dripping. There are refractive, I don't know if people can hear me when I'm not talking to the group. Refraction occurs, meaning that there's material here that starts actually bending the light spectrum. Let's go down, prism effects. Look at this. I call this one hot dogs on a grill. And this very, there's a texture here. It's somewhat regular, but we don't really know what it is. Then you get this very viscous, fibrous cover that occurs on a daily basis. So Phoenix, Arizona is a desert. One of the anomalies that people are finding is, why are we having clouds forming in the desert? It doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen except very, very occasionally. But it's happening in Phoenix every day. It's happening in Las Vegas every day. It's happening in New Mexico every day. These are arid regions of the United States. Here's a what if you had a little child and you looked up at the sky, the two of you, at sunset, and you saw this, what are you going to tell them? Is that a cloud? Is that a, what is it, a rope? Anyway, let's move down.
Look at the backbone.
So we have all these pages that you can go to. Here's the Independent Thinkers fact sheet that has those pictures and 10 facts that take this into, I would say, quite a distance. Chemtrails, some people won't use the word. Some people will only stop at the weather modification when they're trying to explain it to someone. Others will go into geoengineering. The trails consist of three classes of material. Metal, which are metallic salts, oxides, aluminum oxide, barium oxide. The reason that there's an oxide component is that oxides are friendlier to the human body. The human body absorbs them better. The effect of an oxide is more, I guess, accessible, you could say, than a metal itself. So there's the metallic salts, polymers, which are fibers. That's the class of material. And then there are biological elements. So can we go to our basic facts page, please? You have to go to the file.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I meant. So as our sky changes and we become, this is real cloud. They need moisture. Today we have a combination of cumulostratus clouds. I bet most of them are real. I bet that it's moisture-based. What lies above that, we don't know. Okay? Clifford Carnicom told me once that saturation has been achieved. Now it's a matter of maintenance and concentration. When you fly in a plane, and I'll show you that picture pretty soon, it looks like these files took a while to load. So let's just go down this page. Here's what you have. Let's go up a little bit so we can see this and this. But this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing, right here, these two, a very layery, viscous kind of material with strands in it, stratus-type strands. There's a combination of shapes and forms that is being designed that we are growing accustomed to that do not exist in nature at the same time. On the same level, altitude is important here. Cirrus forms high up in nature. It doesn't come down and form at 25,000 feet. So we're seeing formations that are simulated imitations of nature that are forming at altitudes where they shouldn't be at all. So let's go a little bit lower. All right, so after this occurs on a daily basis, this is Phoenix, Arizona. It's like an air show. I mean, every day. And nobody is saying anything. Nobody cares. Nobody looks up. And if you go down, this is what results at the end of the day. Film. Why is no one saying anything? You want to get?
The educational stuff.
Who do you ask? Well, the consequence of that.
I would seem to be a major part of it. If you're just talking with the amplification of voice to voice, well, if you're talking about something that everybody can't get enough of and cares immensely about, sure, words can spread like wildfire. In fact, this is something people don't want to know about. It's very uncertain and confusing and unclear. And if it's not getting amplified at all through the media, then it's going to propagate very slowly.
Well, you're talking about the awakened knowledge of this. I'm talking about when you see the air show every day,
every
you
day.
Say, where's the air show? I didn't know there was one in town today. Okay, I'll take one more guess.
Part of it's
this denial, I've worked with people that have worked against nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons, and radiation you can't see, and they'll work very hard on it. But as soon as I brought it up to them 10 years ago, they said I was crazy, and these are specialists. These are environmental workers that volunteer their time. So there's a real serious element of denial and very intelligent people that work in all kinds of environmental issues, and it's a very sad thing to observe.
Okay, I believe that.
There's
one more at the very back.
It's normal.
Right. The frog is being boiled very slowly.
Right.
A few days ago, someone said to me, if you dropped the frog in boiling water, what would the frog do? He would jump right out of the pot because the frog would have enough muscle power, wit, to go, wow, this isn't normal, this pot of boiling water, I'm getting out. So we are being boiled so slowly. Those cloud formations have changed so slowly. I want to ask someone to guess. Just what would you like to guess?
I just want to say, what do the meteorologists, what do they say?
They're not saying anything.
They won't say anything.
No, if they say anything, they're getting fired.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they go back to NASA, resistant jet contrails. How much time do you think the average American child spends outdoors every week?
20 minutes.
An hour. 45 minutes.
A few years ago, I heard 20 minutes from TV. It is 20 minutes.
That's
why I
drove it.
We're
just not outside.
There's no relationship. Part of the engineering is to get us indoors, get us. This is our relationship. It's to the phone, the iPod, the piece of paper, the list, what to do next. It's not, there's no more distance than we go. The television, you know, that's a couple of feet.
We.
Sorry?
We. It's our game.
Oh, yeah.
The other observation is, and it may be more so in Seattle because I think they're more technologically cobbled, connected, brainwashed, is iPods. They're universal, and people are totally absorbed in whatever they're listening to, and they're not looking at the people around them. They're not looking at the nature around them. They're oblivious.
Right.
They're brainwashed, and they're conditioned to do this.
And if you bring their attention to it... They're angry at you for taking them out of their little world.
That's
right. People have been conditioned. The whole school system is designed to condition you to respond and respect authority. The ringing bell conditions you that when that's authority. When the bell rings, you stop what you're doing and you do it above anything. And now the voice of authority is the talking head of the TV. If the talking head of the TV doesn't say it's there, then it ain't there for most of them.
Right. And television is, they have programs now that are featuring chemtrails as a conspiracy theory or what are these things. The third class of material is biological, and there's kind of a crossover between the polymers and what happens biologically to us. How many people have heard of Morgellon syndrome? Okay, a lot of people, obviously. There's a famous ball player, Billy Koch, and he. There's a video that I downloaded. It's the Billy Koch MP4. Maybe we should play it now. And this was, he's a celebrity, and that means something. And this was on television. I'm saying to the public.
I know.
Joni Mitchell apparently now has Morgellons also. And wouldn't this be a great opportunity to blast this situation into the mainstream?
I think Joni Mitchell can even sing with even more conviction. I've looked at clouds from both sides now.
I've only heard of it. What is this?
We're going to see it. First, I'm going to show you the video that we played, an interview, a clip, a segment on TV featuring Billy Koch's whole family evidently has it. In some cases, people's pets develop it too. What's happening is the body is extruding polymer fibers coming out of rashes, sores, they ooze. And this has been happening for a while. Psychiatrists were brought in by TV stations who did the early interviews about Morgellons disease, and they attributed it to, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, delusional parasititis. They said, oh, they have a rash. And the rash is oozing. Some rashes do because they're scratching it. And then they said, and those spiders are telling me that's the lint from their clothes sticking to the rash. So people have tried to burn the fibers. They're clearly polymer. They're like whiskers. I want to tell you this. Life is very interesting. I was in the post office one day with my packages for my online store, and this woman was behind me, and she was very chatty. I don't know why she revealed all this stuff to me, but she asked me what I was shipping as the DVDs. What are they about? Oh, well, politics. Are you interested in the environment? I'm very interested in the environment. I said, great. She goes, I have a terrible rash right now from the environment. Look at my rash. And she lifts up her sleeve and shows me these red, blotchy things. Then she pulls her t-shirt up, slips, 50-something-year-old lady, and she shows me all over her stomach is the same stuff. And I go, wow. And then she says, and you know what? My dermatologist doesn't know what to do because there's like whiskers growing out of these sores, and he has to clip them and tweeze them. And I said to her, oh, can you wait for me outside, please? So we did our post office stuff, and I went to her in the lobby, and I said, have you heard of Morgellons syndrome? She didn't know anything about it. She kept talking, and she said to me, now you're going to be blown away, I hope. She said, you know, it's a lie. I said, what do you mean? She said, I can feel it. It's under my skin. I feel it. It crawls. It crawls all over my body, and it talks to me. Like, read about Morgellons syndrome. This is what you may have. Tell your dermatologist. Anyway, so let's play this little clip if we're ready with it.
New research on a mysterious skin condition we've been investigating here at KTVU may come as a bit of a comfort to sufferers and says this is not something they've imagined. It's quite real. On the other hand, there's no known cure. In tonight's special report, Health and Science editor John Fowler has the latest on the disease, including a talk with a former Bay Area baseball star who knows all about it.
Both horrifying and fascinating, from here in Florida to the Bay Area. Something seems to be causing a mysterious new disease. Former Oakland A's pitcher Billy Koch has it, and so do his wife and their three children. Though they can afford top medical care, doctors have no answers.
You know what? Something weird is going on, and something needs to be done.
And he freaked out. He wanted to ignore it, which I wanted to too, but when it comes to your kids, you gotta stop ignoring it.
It started in Oakland 4 years ago. Billy saved 44 games, the top reliever in baseball. His fastball wowed crowds, and then the weirdness.
Some black specks came out of my hand and came out of my arm.
And within 2 years, at age 29, he was out of baseball.
Twitching. Just uncontrolled muscle twitches for months at a time through the night. I mean, then that's just weird.
They say out of slow-healing skin lesions will come bizarre filaments, especially after bathing.
That's when it would just really just ooze, literally ooze out of my skin.
There's no reasonable explanation for it. I know I'm not seeing things, I'm watching it happen. I mean, we're pretty sane people.
They've seen several doctors. Everybody's told them they're crazy. It's in their head. They're delusional.
Dr. Neelam Upal gave the Koches and 15 other patients a powerful anti-parasite medicine and antibiotics that helped temporarily, but the filaments came back.
I've seen them, send it to the lab. They can't identify it. They'll say nothing. It's not enough that you're suffering and hurting and you're an idiot and you're crazy on top of it. I mean, I'm really hurt and I'm really sad and I'm really scared.
The Conchas may be the most recognizable of more than 3,000 families nationwide reporting these same unexplained symptoms. There are curious clusters here in Florida, along the Gulf Coast, and in the San Francisco Bay Area, where we begin our investigation into new clues to this medical mystery.
It looks like there's a lot more on your back here.
Okay.
San Francisco physician Rafael Stricker took samples from Bay Area sufferers. Patients report pustules and filaments that most doctors dismiss.
You're nuts. If you're talking about a white thing coming out of your wounds.
Dermatologists told us it was all delusions, although none had studied it. This scientist is the first to conduct research on this disconcerting disease.
This is definitely the biggest mystery I've ever been involved in.
UC Davis trained physiologist Randy Wymore, now at Oklahoma State University in Tulsa, leads a medical team researching what's now called Morgellons disease. With cooperation from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Wymore's team is studying Bay Area patients and others from around the country. His first finding disputes that diagnosis of delusions.
Pathologists and dermatologists and lab reports that these were textile fibers that were appearing in the skin of the sufferers, well, that's just not true, just to be perfectly blunt about it.
Wymore says his tests rule out not only textile fibers, but also worms, insects, animal material, even human skin and hair. The filaments, he says, are not external contamination, but rather a substance that materializes somehow inside the body, apparent artifacts of something infectious. More results are expected soon. And Wymore says a neurotoxin or microorganism may disturb muscle control and memory.
The neurological effects are the much more severe, life-altering, and potentially dangerous of the conditions.
Wymore says he's about to begin a clinical trial and offers this to sufferers.
We know that there is something real going on here. You're not delusional.
Wymore just released this open letter to physicians treating Morgellons patients. He says doctors need to take this seriously, that what they're seeing is a highly unusual, newly emerging infectious disease. Health and Science Editor John Fowler, KTVU, Channel 2 News.
The Channel 2 website has additional information about this baffling medical mystery. If you'd like to learn more, go to KTVU.com.
Okay, so that was television. Should we believe them?
I guess it is.
Oh, yeah. We've got Billy Koch, the ball player. He can't play ball anymore, and we've got this on national TV. Now, I want you to show another video of the dry particle storm. And I'm backing these two together because I want to see if you see what I see.
New research on the mysterious...
Oops.
No.
No,
no, it's fine.
Oh, no,
we're good.
Live chat.
G-E-L-L-O-N-S. There is a page on my website. We're gonna we'll look at that page in a minute.
O-N-S.
Okay, this is from Germany. Just so you can see that it's not just, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, or Florida, or America. In this room, we had a black light, we would see the same thing. So there's stuff in the air. And I want you to know something very simple when you try to talk to people about this. Visibility is important for a certain reason. Number one, you want to be able to see. Number two, if you can't see, it has a direct effect on your health. The FAA changed its good standard, which used to be 40 miles plus. Suddenly, boom, overnight it became 10 miles. It just dropped with no explanation. You cannot see things today that used to be able to see 10, 15 years ago much more easily. So, if you can't see a mountain that's 5 miles away, and you could see it in 1985, 5 miles away, it means either your eyesight is failing, or there's something in the air, there's something between you and that mountain. Now, there's a direct correlation between visibility and mortality. This is the particulate count in the air. Particulates are small material. It doesn't matter if what's in the air is Hershey's cocoa powder, ash from a volcano, or this. It's there, no matter what it is. You're breathing it, it's going into your body. We have certain barriers. The skin is a natural barrier to external, you could call it contamination, hazards, material. We have on our skin also cilia, these fine hairs. Our eyelashes are cilia, our eyebrows are cilia. We have cilia in our nose, cilia in our ears, cilia in our lungs. We have tonsils. The body has natural filters. We have an immune system, which is kind of like the internal army after these appointments that we are formed with filter out the biggest of the invaders. But when you have particles that are less than a micron in size, a human hair is 70 to 100 microns. A red blood cell is 7 microns. So less than a micron is very small. And when things are less than a micron in size, they get past the natural barriers. The immune system's fingers, if you want to speak metaphorically, are too clumsy to find material that's less than a micron in size. The immune system knows it's there, but it's working overtime to try to find it. The control and manipulation of particles less than a micron in size is known as nanotechnology. So, because the fibers are showing up in people's bodies, and the fibers that are taken in environmental samples, if you put a dish out, or another way to do it is packing tape, something sticky, and you leave it out overnight. There's a researcher who's made a packing tape, a wooden frame with packing tape stretched across it, and then he takes the stuff that sticks to that overnight, and he has cultured it in dishes, and we'll go to those pages. My Morgellons page, let's go to that first. The fibers under a microscope are visible, and they grow. They are inorganic, but they are equipped with, I'll call it an intelligence, that allows them to self-replicate, to assemble, and to colonize. There is an organization to their behavior. Okay? Now here, I don't know how well people can see it, but here's the Morgellons fiber at 60 times magnification. And there's a red thing that is growing out filaments. So let's go down lower. This is David Deese's illustration of Happy Holidays, the Morgellons family. Unfortunately, he has very dark humor. Unfortunately, it's a rather sad. There's your Billy Koch video that we just saw, which isn't showing up. Now, if you want to see, you can go up a little more. move this. No, what I mean is move the picture up. Right. Okay, let's stop. You can do this. It took me many, many, many months to work up the nerve. This is called the red wine fiber test. Go home. Please do it with a friend. I would think it would be very scary to do it alone. Get a glass, a bottle of red wine, Merlot, even Cabernet. You can use grape juice if you don't want to drink alcohol. Organic grape juice, a lot of people use. And hydrogen peroxide. You do two-thirds of red wine, one-third hydrogen peroxide. And you put it in a glass, take a sip. Now this is tough, don't giggle. You have to swirl the stuff in your mouth for as much as 5 minutes if you can. And I had to leave the room, go in another room, because I didn't want to giggle and ruin my friend's house. But swirl it, swirl it, swirl it. The peroxide is a scouring agent. What you're doing is you're getting a gum tissue sample out of your mouth. The red wine, the grape juice, has something in it called tannin, which colors. It's like when you do a thallium scan in the hospital and they put dye into you and then they can do their x-ray type of reading. You're coloring the material that the peroxide is scraping out of your mouth. So you swish this stuff as long as you can. You spit it into a little cup or a bowl, and it'll be foamy because of the peroxide. You let it settle. It may take a day or two to settle. And then you look in the bowl, and you will see this reddish stuff. And if you go further down, I think, well, the left up here, if you look at it under magnification, it has hard edges to it. You actually, I looked and I saw a little, like, you know, remember when we had glitter and some glitter was square? It had straight lines. That's what you're going to see when it comes out and settles. So ask yourself, why am I getting things with hard edges out of my mouth? There's some crystalline formation in our tissues that is identified by this sampling and color and visible to the naked eye. Now, Clifford Carnicom, we can go a little lower. He created cultures out of this. So here's his first fungus culture that he got from saliva, and that's only five times magnification. He looked, this is 400 magnification, at this material and saw that there were like these globules, and they had like wires running to each other. One globule would form, then another one would form nearby, and they would be connected. They were bridged. So they're spinning filaments out. So we can go lower. I want to see what else I have here. Okay, I don't. So let's go to a researcher's story. Now, there's a guy in Arizona who goes by the name of Blue. He's a very brilliant man. He's a very creative thinker, totally out of the box. And Blue replicated some of Carnicom's work and did his own style of investigation. I can go a bit lower. Let's start with some of his real pictures. All right. He looked at these fibers, these things that were growing out of his culture, and he found many different types. There were types that were hooked, types that had segmentation to them. If you go a little bit lower, he called this one Fred. It looked like a tadpole. And when he mixed Fred in with other material from his culturing, he found that Fred would get out of the way of the other stuff. So all he could conclude was that these, let's call them organisms, they were communicating with each other. They had an ability to sense each other and to move in accordance with something that was intelligent. I don't know if you could call it a program, or they were inventing the program themselves. Where this is coming from, we don't really know. What's the organization to this? That's what we have to figure out. So Let's go a little bit lower. Again, he found very squarish looking crystals, you could call them, in his samples. And he did these from packing tape frames. He said that he took samples of his own skin, his hair, his urine, his mucus, and from his dog. And he found the same things forming. So he did not have symptoms. He was not anybody with Anderson, to my knowledge, with Morgellons syndrome.
Yeah.
So what can we conclude? Would anyone like to guess? Yes.
Well, logic would make me think that the people with Morgellons is they're kind of like a canary in a coal mine. They're the ones that are showing the symptoms first. I think we're carrying all of that in us. All
exactly. It's in us. We are now the host for these assembling network of filaments. Yes.
Has there been any materials research on the molecular structure of the filaments themselves? Have they gotten down to, are they looking at, when you're saying self-replicating, can we say proteins? Can you say polymers? Are we talking plastics?
Plastics.
Okay.
Silicone. And here's what Blue theorized, and I don't know this guy Blue. He went to Idaho, and he did the same thing in Idaho. So what was happening in his little petri dishes in Arizona, he was able to go to Idaho and replicate. He theorizes that these organisms are taking advantage of ambient plastic. We live in a bath of plastic. Do people know this? I mean, we have plastic bottles, plastic bags, plastic saran wrap, anything here, business plastic, paper clips, chairs. Okay, so there's degraded, exfoliated plastic material all around us. And it's very small. Some of it is bigger. I swim in the ocean, and I'm telling you, I can see in the ocean like dandruff. All around me, I see it through my goggles, little white flakes. And I wondered, first I thought one day, oh, is that the chemtrail fallout? Is that what I'm looking at? And then I read an article in which the exfoliated plastics were referred to as nurdles, N-U-R-D-L-E-S. And I said to myself, that's what it could be. It could be just plastic flakes. But I never, sampled it and tested it. So Blue theorizes that these things are exploiting or taking advantage of the plastic that we live in and DC current. There's a lot of supply of energy from Wi-Fi, from our bath of electrical and electromagnetic frequencies that we're living in. So they have an inexhaustible, endless supply of this stuff. And this is what they use to form. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the spraying in general. When they spray metal particulates in the sky, they ionize in sunlight. To ionize means to capture or surrender an electron. When you cause the air in which we live, which is supposed to be neutral, air is supposed to be a life-supporting, forgiving medium in which living things can thrive. When you ionize the air, you make it conductive. When it's conductive, it is a plasma, meaning that it can propagate and carry and transmit energy. When the air around us becomes a plasma, it has been weaponized. So that is one unarguable reality of the medium in which we live today, as opposed to years and years ago. We are living in a weaponized airspace. So if the air is conductive, we are conductive. If this material is in us and it needs conductivity, it's got it. Because we are that way too. So I want to see what's lower on the blue page.
The blue page?
I called it, no, it's blue. Oh,
okay.
This is his work.
Okay.
He, again, these are just different specimens. They all have these extrusions. They're all seeking to keep populating. In the form itself, the form, there's almost like, I would say, a hologram. You know the Russian doll situation? You open it, it goes smaller and smaller and smaller. There's always a Russian doll making another Russian doll, making another Russian doll. So then he finds these twisted strands. There, people say that the filaments are in different colors when you look at them under a microscope. There's red, there's blue, there's white. Filaments look like wiring. Let's go a little bit lower and see if there's anything. This is from the blood. He cannot really do much more than show what he's finding. But something is definitely going on. This is from the skin. Here are more. And on my website, you can go to all of these and you can enlarge them. I don't know if they're going to mean anything to anyone, but something's going on.
Hey.
There you go.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, we got the skin enlarged.
Oh, wow. That's weird, isn't it? How does it do that? Should I do that from the
kitchen? Here, let's try to get a little quick.
All right, so that I can push the view a little bit. So, how many people here are starting to think that there may be a rhyme and reason to this? Okay. I'm gonna propose, and I want to see how it feels. I'm not here to scare you, but I really think we have to start being extremely open and creative. How many people think we are being changed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got chills, and I asked that. We are being transformed. Now, I thought of an analogy a few days ago. Let's pretend that every human being, each human being is like a field of lights. And the lights are all different colors. There are red lights, orange lights, blue lights, green, pink, purple, whatever. And as you look at the field, you see that the lights are all going on and off in various patterns. The red and the yellow are working at the same time, and then there are these other ones working, and they're all flashing, and it all seems to be organized. Well, I'm going to posit that these lights represent systems. The red and the yellow are the circulatory system. The blue and the green are the respiratory system. The purple and the lilac are the neurological system. We have all these different natural, internal, regulatory systems that are, we don't have to think about them, right? That's our life. It's not really even energy, it's system, the natural system of what governs the human being. Let's say a mad scientist comes along and says, now look at all those lights. I would like to be the one that turns those lights on and off in the combinations I want to have them going off in. So the mad scientist says, now how would I do that? Well, what if I were to lay in this field a circuit board and I were to wire all these lights and I'm going to get every one of those lights hooked up to my circuit board, then I can push the switch and I can put the green ones with the red ones and the blue ones with the yellow ones and I can make them go off at different intervals and different kinds of rhythms and patterns. That's what I want to do. Now, imagine if we human beings were told by an organization of mad scientists, we want to wire all of your cells up to our circuit board. Would we say yes? No. So something has happened now by which we are being wired to some kind of organizing system. And that, to me, appears to be one way to look at this. That these polymers are an alternate control network that is being embedded in us to override our biological protocol. Does that make sense? That is pretty frightening.
Maybe someone knows that our atmosphere is going to change in the future, and we're not, as we breathe today, as our biology is, we will not handle it. And so maybe they're changing, it's changing us so we can mutate to breathe in this different atmosphere that's going to happen. Who knows? You know?
Exactly.
And we would never, they're trying to do it in a way that we wouldn't, it's not going to freak everybody out. Do it insidiously.
Do you remember the movie The Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yes. Yep. I remember very well.
I think you're talking about it right now.
Yes. I remember that. That movie frightened me. I thought I was going to wake up with a steam pod in my bed someday.
My question is, in practical terms, who are the body snatchers? Identify the agencies and the people that are responsible for re-engineering, whatever. And let's go read the book.
All right. I'm going to start with another chapter of this discussion. Does anyone know the time?
It's 10 after 4.
It's later than you think.
I'll go into this chapter now. Let's keep that. Who has heard of eugenics? Everybody. Okay. This is a very good group. So eugenics was about selecting out hereditary traits and improving the species hereditarily through breeding. All right. There is a new word on the scene now called transhumanism. It's really the term eugenics modernized. All right. So when it was discovered, eugenicists they've been going back a long, long, long time. There were periods in history when they wanted to just have the aristocracy reproduce because they were considered better than the rest of the, you know, chattel. Apparently, around the time of the Second World War, or a little bit later, when it was discovered that Hitler was using eugenics, this word transhumanism came on the scene. So transhumanism is about enhancing human performance. It combines several technologies, because we are living in a new age now, super science. Nanotech, biological technologies, information technologies, and cognitive technologies. But the whole idea is to enhance humans so that we have a man-machine type of superiority. There's a very good book called Welcome to the Machine by Derek Jensen. This stuff has been written about for years and years and years. And there's a movie you can watch on Google called The Age of Transitions by Aaron Franz. The Age of Transitions goes into great detail about all these different technologies and the history that gave birth to them. It's a movement to make us better. What is better? I'm not going to define it. What does trans mean?
Change. Movement.
From here to there. So the real goal of transhumanism is a process to get us to post-humanism. They are trying to create post-humans. Post-humans will not have the problems and the hassles that regular humans have. Post-humans won't have to reproduce. They're starting to play with the idea of eliminating childhood altogether. It's such a nuisance. And you don't know anything. You might as well be born knowing what, instead of having to go to school and waste all this time and go through adolescence and have your hormones. So the transhumanists are very progressive thinkers. And one of they want to improve the stock, they want to create at the same time advantages and disadvantages. There's an evolutionist, Oliver Curry, from the London School of Economics, who predicted that humans will become two strains. I have a page on this website called The Rabbit Hole, if you want to go to that. And yes. All right. Now, this first post, this is just a bunch of posts. There's a great video here which I didn't download. But omniscience, meta-information, a digital sixth sense. They have figured out, these techno-geeks, how to let you wear a camera. You'll use the Wi-Fi cell phone in your pocket. And your fingers have these pads on them that are mechanical, technological. And you'll go to the supermarket, and you'll see this box of cereal, and you'll just touch it. And on your palm will appear all the information related to it. You're Googling that cereal. It's like, they call it the digital sixth sense. It's like being in a computer yourself. You'll never, hey, I see you on the street. You tell me your name. What's your name, Bruce?
Bruce.
I type into my Google. My hand is a keyboard. Board, Bruce. And I see, I've Googled you. I know all the stuff about
you. That's exciting.
Well, Bruce, you live in Washington State, don't you?
Wow.
See?
How'd you know that?
All right. So, if you go a little bit lower, I'm putting up all kinds of stuff, but the lowest post on this, engineered goblins. Okay, right here. Transhumanism is the term for genetic enhancement, and the elites are the ones who are going to get it. We, I can assure you, are not going to become selected out advantageously. So we will not be gifted. We will not be blonde and long-legged and blue-eyed. We are being made into the slave class, the worker class, the drones. So once the program is in us and it's available and it can be switched on and off, it can then differentiate. It can perform upgrade in some and delete functions in others. Okay? So, whether or not this is going to happen to us as individuals is unknown, but we are in what I call the transhuman corridor. And we are being experimented on. And we are ham and stir going, do you see what I see? What, should we have babies at all? I mean, they are going to, when I say they, I know there are people here who want me to name them. They are going to introduce uploaded minds. You will be the Encyclopedia Britannica. There will be no need for you to go to school. There are rats that they've already done experiments on. They can get the rat to press a button 18,000 times a day to the exclusion of breathing, eating, sleeping. And when the rat is taken away from the button for a day and returned the next day, he presses the button 36,000 times the next day. The desire is to create humans. You notice that we're not referred to as human beings anymore. They're taking the being out of us. They don't want us to have individuality. You can see this around you. Mm-hmm. I live in San Diego. I see the same blonde in the same SUV with the same cell phone, the same latte, the same bleached teeth, the same breast implant, the same bleached hair. And she has the same dog in the back and the same kid. And she lives in the same house. And I don't understand how there could be so many of them. And when I went to the New York. Oh, the guys, they're in the gym. They have the look, you know, they have the very short hair, the very big muscles. They have all the attributes of virility that are accessories, because if you start looking at men, the testosterone level is going down, infertility is going up, they're being feminized. So something is happening to this genus of humans, and it is happening in a way slowly, but in a way very fast. The uniformity is unmistakable, even right now. So I don't believe that the slave class is going to be favorably selected. We're going to have detriment. It may be to the point that we will not survive, many of us. There is a depopulation effort. And people say to me, the elite, one of you too, they breathe the food, they eat the GMO food. I mean, but here's the whole beauty of it. The program performs different functions for different people. This is what selection is. Advantage and disadvantage. So, does anyone have questions?
Is it too late to get guns and start shooting them? I don't want to start. So, the police, the attorneys, and all the judges will help run the system.
They're definitely
soldier souls.
Definitely something, an option to consider.
Is that supposed to be a large handful of people in the country having these symptoms? Is that you know, wasn't supposed to happen, or was that some kind of side effect that, you know, that feels were having? When we're all breathing, it's going to be all of us.
Right.
So the people that's affecting, you know, their skin, is it a side effect that was not supposed to be that, you know what I mean?
Yes. Gwen Scott, the naturopath who works with Clifford Chronicom, on the table there's Aerosol Crimes for Sale, which features her in the last third. Gwen Scott told me that some people's bodies are actually trying to push this stuff out. You know, when you get a splinter, after a couple of days, it doesn't hurt too bad, you can leave it alone, and it will come out like that. Your body is pushing it out. I had a roommate once who told me that she noticed on her foot one morning a piece of glass was coming out of her foot. She didn't even know it was embedded in there. So the body attempts to force this material out, and some people are experiencing that, which doesn't mean that they're the only ones who have it. That is just how their body is responding. So there are lots of hands going up.
It seems like most people's body.
Behind you, I'm sorry, there's a woman with me.
I think right now, what we're experiencing without a major infusion of this, the news media, the people that fly the planes, all these people that live right next door to us are cooperating and covering up cancer.
Yeah.
And we're there. We are slaves already, in the sense that they have the button, they're pushing it, and we can't seem to get a handle on getting people to speak about it. That's the scariest thing to me.
Right, but I'm going to propose something to you. Have you ever thought that there might be no one in the plane?
Yeah, they have drones.
That's true.
Yeah.
But what has that got to do with, like what she said, the majority of people at one half, like it's not happening?
The weathermen remove it from the radar.
Well, I just addressed that aspect of it.
Okay. Fire or kill it. They will. Just like that Wellington.
Now, people are very...
Well, yeah.
woman who gave the chemical fact sheet in San Diego, and she called up our representative in our district, or I think we're in the 50th district, Bill Bray. She called up his office, and she started hammering him. Look outside. Look, can you see they're spraying? And they said, oh, ma'am, calm down. We'll have someone call you back. Yes, we'll look into it. They had someone from Bill Bray's Washington office call her back. And he said, ma'am, there is nothing to worry about. Everything is fine. It's just condensation trails. And she said no. And she read at every point from my independent thinker's fact sheet. She made him listen to it. And he said, thank you. And that was it. Yes, you're kind
of something about the condensation trails, I think, is relevant now. I turned my nephew onto chemtrails last summer, and it's a belly and I said, look at those, see that? That looks a little bit normal. And I started telling him about them. And as we're watching, he pointed out something that I don't know if it's on your side or anyone else's myth, but he said, now look at that. If it was a condensation trail, how could there be a gap in it?
That's
because
right,
you can see the line and a complete gap mm-hmm. where the machine had cut out for a second. Mm-hmm. And I went, boy, that's a good point.
That is a good point. They squirt, they do a lot of things artistically. Now, just to get back to the cover-up, a lot of people have tried in a lot of places to bring this to the attention of officials of all kinds. I have a friend in Lake County, California. He has spent 6 years documenting this on video, taking pictures, assembling information, bringing it to his local EPA and everybody, mayor's office, police, and they just laugh and they turn him away. So we have to understand that we outnumber them, and even though a lot of people live next door to us who are in these capacities of officialdom and they're not paying any attention, and they're covering up. We have to develop effective ways of communicating this. And there is, you can't, I will, just 1 second. I say to people, this is not linear. Each one of us who is awake is carrying 100,000 sleeping people. And I made up that number, 100,000. But that's heavy. That's a heavy burden. And you have, if you drop those people, they're not going to enjoy the wake up. They're going to resent it. So you have to somehow carry them and wake them up. But you never know. We're not in a linear process here. It could be that, boom, people start waking up very fast. It could be geometric. The Obama administration just announced, I think it was 2 days ago,
yep.
that they mm-hmm. are going to look into spraying pollution in the sky
yep.
to deflect the harmful warming
right.
rays
yeah.
of
yep.
the sun. Okay, so haven't we already had 50 years or more of, we know that pollution is bad, and people are going to say, oh, I don't want to be warm, just pollute. You know, the idea of spraying pollution, none of this makes any sense. But the hive mentality that is being produced as a result of social engineering and propaganda and conformism.
And this.
And fluoride. And God knows what else. It's all happening at once. So. Yeah, let's just.
I don't know if I should bring this up. Does war or violence against people have anything involved in this?
Yes.
Yep. What do you mean? Could you
specify? I mean, is there any connection between war? I mean, war gets rid of people.
Yes. It's a depopulation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, genocide. Yes. So yes. A war of violence against people coming into this process.
Well, there's definitely depopulation going on. To me, there are many agents of depopulation. War is one of them. War
power. They make money on it.
They make money.
They make millions.
It changes the flow of the economy and the wealth. There's depleted uranium involved in war. We are under assault. We are no longer navigating the world biologically. We're navigating chemically. for years we've been told, look at, remember those ads, the 40s housewives, lemon pledge, spritz this. They already have been bathing us in chemicals to which we have been adapting. Yes.
Well, another thing that ties in right now is the so-called food safety bills that are trying to be passed.
Yeah.
And what I was sitting here thinking, HR 75, there's one other one, which will, you know, eventually make herbal natural compounds and remedies illegal. Now, I was sitting here thinking, you know, how am I going to get these things out of my body? They're already in here. I was thinking, you know, my favorite herbologist must have some bitter root or something that I can ingest, an anti-parasite. It's been used forever, and that'll help. But what happens when those are all gone?
Well, again, there's diatomaceous earth. There are a few bags there, which is silica, which is a substance found in over 25% of the earth's crust. It's a natural filter. When dogs and cats eat grass and other animals eat grass, they're trying to get silica, because vegetation contains silica, it comes out of the earth. And then they have a purging response. Dogs throw up and all that. That doesn't affect us quite the same way, but you can try things like that. You can go to your naturopath. Gwen Scott taught me about diatomaceous earth. But I want to say something else. How many people have heard that we only use 4 to 10% of our brain? Okay, so that's really about this thing we have at our disposal called consciousness, which we have the moment we are born and we blink and we see the light of day. And who knows, even before that, in the womb, we might have consciousness. Children, babies, unborn babies hear music, conversations that their parents are having. So forth. So consciousness in the environment that is socially and systematically and strategically created for us, we live in a linear world. If you go to college, you'll get a good job.
I didn't. Really great GED.
We sit there and we go, there must be something wrong with me. I went to an Ivy League school. It cost a lot of money. My parents were very proud of me. Did I get a good job? I didn't want any of the jobs that were out there. I had a very hard time finding my way in the world. I made 9/11 Mysteries, and boom, that turned me over. Suddenly I was a big success. But up until then, I was a colossal failure. And that was hard for me. Everyone said to me, but you have a degree from Brown. Why can't you get a party?
It's too easy to get lost in all the details. My God, you can get mind-boggled with it all. I just wanted to say one general statement that's important, and that is that adults can only do so much. The only hope I think we have is children, because children that are 6, 7, 8 now, 5, 6, 7 years from now, are going to be old enough to be doing what we should be doing, but we're not. And what we have to do is shut down the American school system. Kids have to be homeschooled and taken away from that environment, because it's Pavlov conditioning to teach them to worship authority. And what you teach them in school is not so important as the fact that they're taught to worship authority, to go to work, to go to join the army. And the only hope is, you talk about independent thinking, children are naturally independent thinking. But you dumb them down and program them and turn them into adults, and that's what's a tragedy. The only chance we have is to have a crop of children that are going to go out and fight.
I understand what you're saying. There are many ways on which we can improve this and change it and tackle it, but those ways have to work as well as the initial form system that formed all this. That was I wanted to keep talking for a second. That was... There was a consciousness and is a consciousness behind it. And each of us has a consciousness. Now, I sold out of a DVD called Water last week, but I did a big emailing on it. And it's made in Russia, and it features the work of a lot of scientists from all over the world. This is called the Water Planet. 95% water. There's water in the atmosphere. There's water in the earth. This is the water planet. Water is a computer. Water has a memory that records the effect of everything that happens around it. I don't exactly know why. It has to do with the molecular clusters. They respond to intention. All of this is very new to me, but I'm exploring it. I have a page on my website, which I don't think I downloaded, called Consciousness. And I'm building that page every couple of days, adding new to it. I know we have consciousness available to us that we are not using. I said, when I made 9-11 interviews and some of the radio interviews, that if it's true that we're only using 4% of our brain, and that where we are today is the result of the use of only 4% of our brain, then where's the solution? It's not in the 4% that we're using. It's in the other 96%. And we have to turn that on. And how do we turn that on? It has to do with, number one, first step, awareness, knowledge. Let's know this. Let's not run from it. And let's then share it. And we have to do it in an inspired way. I know too many people that want to go and shoot people or end the system through violent means. That's a very male thing.
That's what they want us to do. That's what they
want us
to do.
Yes, to be.
And going into conjunction with what you were saying about the children, that's why the CBS is kidnapping so many of the specific ones that they want to handle. But now they're told that they are handling it much for the purpose that you're saying, except that's not what's happening. And if you trace it through, most of them are using, just being used. Pedophilia, sex slave trades, it goes on and on. And people would like to try to believe that's not happening, but follow it through, trace it through, and you're going to find out that CBS is not doing the job it's supposed to be doing. And so now, what are they doing with those children? Much of what you've seen here, it's they say, you know, one thing, but it's the absolute opposite. What's the Patriot Act? Exactly opposite. And just look for opposite meanings, and a lot of all of this has to do with what David Icke talks about. You can get into the basics behind it, and why they, of course, want to totally ridicule it. But that's another subject.
There's so much that you can go into. None of the letter agencies are doing what everyone thinks they're doing. The world is all upside down. All of it. I am prepared now. When I see something, I immediately try to turn it upside down.
Yep.
And go, what is it really?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's someone over there at the back.
I just wonder if I've seen pictures of the planes with the spray apparatus on them, and I wonder where the planes come from, where do they live, you know, where do they land, where do they take off from, and the actual physical structure of the spray planes. What's known about them?
Okay, Rebecca's dying to answer.
We just did a show on that yesterday. Patricia and myself, and I was the features, wandering features reporter, and we connected 9/11 to all of this. And Sophia knows, I know you know some. Did you read any of the stuff I sent here? You may not have had time.
Yeah, I read some of it.
You read some of it? All right. They just found nanothermites in the World Trade Center dust, the Scholars for Truth. They had a second team. You probably heard about this. You didn't hear it on the nightly news, but you got it on the Internet. All right. They found nanothermites. That's when I did some research on what's in the nanothermites they found in the World Trade Center, it corresponds to those heavy metals, barium and all these others, and some of the crystals and so forth, that are in chemtrails. So that's extremely interesting. Then there's many people here, because you all seem to be extremely aware here, have probably heard of the expansion of the Naval Weapons Testing Range.
Yeah.
Have you been following this?
All up and down the Pacific Northwest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where they're parking these things. And we had late breaking news, not only what you mentioned, Sophia, about Obama's science advisor coming out in the net last 2 days, trying to justify this, you know, really bizarre type things, and justifying in context of global warming, which is the whole mind control thing that they've got over the environmental movement.
Greenwashing.
Yep. They also, there was also a story locally in Puget Sound and this was People for Puget Sound and the Cetacean Society and a number of other groups that monitor the marine mammals, 32 of which they want to take out in the experiments. You probably heard about that, where in their hearings in Podunk that they deliberately put out so nobody would know about them, could go to them during work hours, and also didn't know where the places were in the first place with no operative comments page that, you know, for a month at a time it wasn't operating. Okay. Anyway, they were using their hydrophones like they normally do to monitor the marine mammals and large fish and seals and so forth. On Wednesday night, from early in the evening until 4 o'clock in the morning, they started hearing bizarre, extremely loud voices, some of which sounded vaguely human, but they were super loud, and then they started tracking with their binoculars cetaceans that were like almost beaching themselves. They were trying to distance themselves from whatever this was. They also, and they were communicating with each other, the conservationists, and they were trying to see any surface vessels that might be doing this. There weren't any. So it was obviously a submarine. So they called up good old Sheila Murray, who was on the California Skywatch site with Rosalind Peterson, who's one of the lead activists on this, and you can find all this information there. And she's the PR person for the Navy, and they started asking her, is there a submarine doing some operations? And she admitted that there was. It's called the San Francisco. And it was actually doing tests, the type of tests that we're supposed to be authorizing in these hearings, and they're going ahead and doing them anyway. This is exactly where they're perfect. They're going to use the bases. They're going to use Fort Lewis. They want to expand that. And in the commentary by Kevin Ryan, who was one of the team that worked with Stephen Jones and so forth on the World Trade Center debris, they found out that NIST, that couldn't produce a decent report on the Building 7 or any other part of the World Trade Center, they wouldn't even consider the of demolitions, all of them, including those who wrote the fake articles, the debunking articles in Popular Mechanics. They were all involved with the development of nanothermites at the Naval Weapons Testing Station at Indian Head, Maryland. So I think we can see where they're parking this. I think we can see where the chemtrails are leading. And I also wanted to mention, since we're taking it all the way, I think as of 2012, we are on a route to ascend. I think we have carbon structures that can be transmuted into LED-type crystals that are godlike in consciousness. And I think there are dark energies on this planet, some of them are off-planet, that want to stop this. And this would be a perfect program, literally, an artificial intelligence program that could be programmed into our bodies to render us robots and stop this whole process. And I'll mention one other thing, and you can talk to me later. Since I was 18 years old, I have been trained. I was warned this was going to happen. I opened my door one night and somebody was there, and I went and trained under teachers. And we were trained to do a light exercise to defend ourselves, to create essentially a Faraday cage around us that deprograms this and offers you protection. It's essentially a bubble of light, and then you can also bless others with it. And this sounds far out, but this is all electromagnetic energy within the electro body of a human being. So talk to me later, but this is one of the ways we can stop this, and we also need to start surrounding the planet in light and start doing direct action to stop this nonviolently.
And this is biblical. It's called the full armor of God.
Yes.
Look,
Paul
it
talks about it.
But one further thing I wanted to add on the chemtrails. We traced back the specific units that were being used and under the guise that it was part of the not fortify you, is it? Anyway, the sanitation systems on the Boeing flight and Boeing Airlines. And we traced back specific equipment. We had them look into it at tic-tac. They were stopped, and did somebody noticed in Seattle area at least? Well, for some time, they were stopped when we got a hold of that. But now it's going to be much of the same equipment that we'd be looking for in alternate units, and most of the alternate units seem to be Boeing in the military flights now.
Well, from military bases, is that what you're saying?
Originally, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think this whole subject can go as far as you're willing to see it. There is something about this 2012 date. I have heard that humans are adapting from carbon-based into crystalline. I don't even know what to say. Entities, and that there is a desire to stop that. I don't know much about a lot of it, but it's up to each of us to put it together to a point that we can understand and to work with that until we hear more and know more, and are able to connect more dots. This is an intuitive thing. You've got to do this on your own. You've got to take it as far as you can comfortably take it. If all you want to talk to other people about is weather modification, go for it. There are loads of people to wake up. And you can wake them up with weather modification. You can wake them up with geoengineering. That's what Obama's program is about, geoengineering. You can go further. You can tell them about the polymer fibers. The tolerance is just going to be a reflection of how you are coming across. And I believe it's best to come across where we are the most comfortable and can express the most effectively. I can't talk about 2012 because I'm not a scholar of 2012. But maybe tomorrow or in 3 weeks or 3 years, I will be. By then, we'll be at 2012.
I want to mention one more thing, and then I'll talk to you all later afterwards. The German government, in the past 10 days, admitted that the chemtrails were biochemical weapons. They actually, in the European papers, it was totally censored here.
What's the headline I can Google for that?
Huh?
What's the headline I can Google for that?
German government admits chemtrails as weapons. Something
like that.
Yep.
It's going around. So, I'd like to turn the lights back on. I have a t-shirt that I created.
No gruel for you, Lord.
I found it. I made a 9/11 t-shirt and put a message on the back, and people told me, it says, the real story of 9/11 has not been told. The Twin Towers fell in 10 seconds. Jet fuel was not the cause. The result is the world that is being taken away from you as you read this. And when you wear something on the back, people will see it, and they'll read it, and they'll maybe follow you and turn you around and ask you to explain it. But it'll register. So even they turn around.
What do they see on the front?
It says 9/11 inside the word job. So it's a graphic. The word 9/11 is inside the word job, and it has this physics911.net website. So then I made a t-shirt. Now this has the nuance of military to it. It's a two-spring size. And when a guy bought four of these for me, all in size medium, and I thought he was going to give them away. I said, don't you know that most people aren't medium? They're large. And he said, no, they're for me. I said, well, why do you want four? He said, because I bought one, and I wore it, and all day long, people asked me questions. And I decided I'm going to wear one every day. So I had this t-shirt. It's horizontal. And I put a chemtrail grid over it. And most people would look at this and say, war is uncool. I agree. And this looks like fighter jets or something. But then you turn it around. Chemtrails are electromagnetic, chemical, biological warfare against all humanity. And there's my website on the bottom. So this is a strong message. And it might inspire people to do some homework. It also has the military theme to it. So I really believe that we have to start we've got to start carrying information with us. You can do it as flyers. I have those chemtrail cards. They're glossy. I printed 50,000 of them. They're good to hand out. There's a lot of different ways. You can be creative. You can think up your own. You can make your own flyer. But I find with flyers, people tend to dismiss them unless they have color. And of course, it's expensive to do color in New York. We live in an age in which very powerful interests, a lot of money, have created a lot of propaganda and messaging and books and magazines trumpeting a lot of stuff, like our buddy Al Gore.
No way. Global warming's real. I created it. It's all my fault. I'm going to pay my carbon tax now.
You're going to have to do that. So I will be here.
Quick announcement. I have the show Call for Investigation. It means just that you're supposed to be able to call into the show. It's Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30. It's online under scantv.org. That's scantv.org. And you can call in. The call in number 06-421-5005. Have the opportunity to call in and give us the evidence, recent research, any updates that need to be out and correlated, and please do it.
What time?
4:30 to 5:30 each and every Thursday. And the whole idea of the show is to get your information out.
I want to finish up with a raffle, which I actually forgot about. So we actually collected. Does anyone have a last-minute desire to participate to win Ring of Power?
We should have afforded them.
Okay. But if you do, you have to do it right now. But I'm going to ask us all to do an exercise. All right? It's going to be very short. Let's not be real I want everybody in this room to close your eyes and think of your deepest wish for yourself. Okay? Now I want you to think of your deepest wish for the world. Okay, is everybody done? Okay, now we're going to do the math. So, I'm not looking at anything. I'm
Will the real stand up?
Will the real Gary
phone? Oh, we came so close.
Correct.
Oh.
Congratulations. Before I give it to you, Gary, can you share with us your deepest wish for yourself?
For myself? Sure. I saw it.
Okay, wait, you have to listen. This is Gary's wish.
Well, my immediate concern for myself was to hope for protection from harm for myself and my wife. In life, and then that's for myself. For the world, I was my thought for the world was, and again, this is a real simple concept was to hope that there was, you know, peace and love and joy for all the people in the world. And that these dark forces that are at work would somehow miraculously.
Well, I thank everyone who participated in that raffle. I did that in Seattle. Gary, you said you were feeling lucky today, which is interesting.
Well, I was just making it up. But I do, yeah.
Well, the guy who won in Seattle, were you there?
Yeah.
He actually put his name in. He was one of the last to come in, ran out to get his wallet, and he won in his own accent. So, and then he had to do the wishes in front of everybody yesterday. He wasn't even part of the audience when he did that, but he won, and so amazing things can happen. And thank you all for coming.
11, Choose Alliance. We meet at Laughing Horse Club every Wednesday from 7 until usually around 9 o'clock. So you're welcome to join us. Please do join us. We're working on all kinds of actions. Another announcement, somebody dropped a couple of pieces of paper with a telephone number on it. So happy, so I don't know if this belongs to anybody in the room. And there's been a request that before you leave today, you'll turn to a stranger and introduce yourself, and let's expand our